Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello and welcome to the International Black Summit Talk Show. My name is Clara Lyons Devon, and I am your stand-in host. Your host for this evening actually is going to be Ms. Keisha Showers, and she is going to be talking about Let's Celebrate. So, folks, celebrate good time. Come on. Shakesha's having some technical difficulties, so if you don't mind, I will take her place for a hot second until she can get in to our studio this evening. If you're not familiar about the International Black Summit, the International Black Summit is a place where people can realize their vision for the Black community and for the world. If you'd like to call in for tonight's show, the call-in number is 646-716-9827. Again, that call-in number is 646-716-9827. Ms. Shakesha, is that you? Are you on?
It's Malika.
Say again. Oh, hi, Malika. How are you? Can you hear me? Uh-oh. Okay, I think we lost Malika. And actually, Malika is our guest this evening. She is the creation of our youth summit. Let's see if I can get her back on the line. Malika, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I'm sorry about that. Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm just wonderful. How are you this evening?
I am doing wonderfully.
Great. I want to welcome you to the International Black Summit Talk Show. And I just want to thank you for participating with us this evening. Shakesha's having some technical difficulties, but...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she will be on air as soon as she can get on. In the meantime, I was just sharing with the audience a little bit about the International Black Summit, what we're about, and I guess since you're here, we'll start with you. I want to acknowledge you.
Okay.
an acknowledgement as the founder of the Youth Summit. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. You know, when Shakesha called me and asked me to participate with the show this evening, I was honored and humbled by the opportunity to be able to share my story and to be able to, you know, any opportunity to reconnect with the International Black Summit community is always an invitation that I am more than willing to accept. And just makes me very happy to be able to know that this is something that, you know, I had a hand in. You know, the International Black Youth Summit really began as a dream, you know, when I was a very little girl, actually. I'm the oldest daughter, and I have two younger sisters. And when we were very little girls, I was the storyteller. So when we would go to bed, I would tell stories to them. And a lot of times the stories would be about, you know, these adventures that we would have. And in the storytelling, the adventures would be about, you know, we're going to travel and we're going to go to these different places and we're going to meet all these different friends and have all these different friends from all over the world. And so the stories evolved about these sort of adventures. And so it's this sort of interesting way in which, you know, the imagination can manifest things in reality for you. And my mother actually participated in the International Black Summit in 92, I think. Yeah, 92 in Highland Park, Michigan. I think that was in 92. I believe that was 92, yeah. And after her participation at that particular, I think that was the second summit, she came back home and said, you know, I really want my children to be involved. This was, you know, a wonderful and exciting experience. And at that time, there wasn't anything specific for young people or anything particular for young people. It was, you know, just for, I mean, mostly it was for adult participants who had been involved with Landmark Education Corporation. And there were young people who attended, I believe there were young people who attended all of the summits, but again, there wasn't a particular conversation for young people at that time. And in 1993, in Oakland, California, for the third summit, I believe I have my dates correct, yes, my mother took my sisters and I to that particular summit, and we met some other young people there, and while there, we sort of naturally sort of got together and began to talk, organize around, oh, okay, we're about the same age, you know, where are you from? I'm Detroit, L.A., you know, Pittsburgh, I'm from Pittsburgh, my sister, you know, and other young people. There was about 10 young people at that conference in California, in Oakland. And we would, you know, hang out after the conference itself, and we started talking about, you know, what would it look like if we had an International Black Youth Summit.
Great.
And in that conversation, everyone there said, well, we should just tell them this is what we want to do. So, you know, we were like, okay, that's what we're going to do. And there was a young man there from Detroit, and I can't remember his name, but he was very vocal, and he and we thought that naturally he would be the one to sort of lead us to the next step, declare the International Black Youth Summit, and we would have sort of followed his leadership. And everybody at our sort of informal meeting said, Maliki, you should be the one. You should be the one to say it. You're the one. You're the one. And I said, well, wait a minute, really? You know, but so it was, you know, and so, but it was, you know, it was what it was. So, you know, I you know, said, okay, you know, knees buckling, nervous, you know, 300-400 people, Oakland, California, you know, they don't know me, I don't know them. And, you know, my crew is saying, no, you go to the front of the room, go, you should do it. So, you know, so I went up there. I was 14, 15 at the time, introvert, very shy, you know, but, you know, went up there and said, look, this is what we would like to do. We would like to have this, we'd like to start a conference that would work in conjunction with the International Black Summit. It happened at the same time, but it would be a youth-led conversation for youth by youth. And that was sort of our very early beginnings. And, you know, I'm just happy because it has grown beyond anything I could have ever imagined. And my understanding of the young people who are in leadership now just have a vision for the International Black Youth Summit that that's phenomenal. So I'm just proud and excited.
Wow, and I know at the time it probably seemed, like you said, you were really frightened, but out of your stand, and as you say, you're the one, you know, you're the one, something pretty phenomenal was created. I want to give the call-in number quickly. It is 646-716-9827, 646-716-9827. Shakesha is still trying to get online. Lenar, are you with us? This is the 773-783. Who's on the line? She may be assisting Shakesha. She was trying to call in while you were speaking.
Oh, okay.
This is Henrietta.
Oh, hi, Henrietta. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. And who was speaking?
It's Malika. How are you, Henrietta?
God, I was like, that couldn't be her. I'm great. Good to hear from you.
Oh, great. Yes, wonderful.
Good to hear from you. Oh, Lord. And I'm like, you were only 14?
Yeah.
14. And then hadn't shared that, I never would have known you were scared. You were shaky. You were nervous.
Well, it becomes a situation where, if spirit takes over and it's not about you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think that it's just a matter, anything worth sort of doing will leave you a little nervous. So I just think it was, spirit more than anything else.
Right.
That supported any way in which for me to be able to, in that moment, stand and articulate what our vision was and could be at that time. And I'm thinking maybe Shakesha's trying to get us, because I think she just tried to call me.
As well. Yeah. If you have an opportunity, Henrietta, if you could help me out and dial Shakesha and give her the call-in number, the 646-716-9827, that would be great.
I've been trying to get through to her, and I haven't been able to do it, but I'll try again. Which number do you suggest?
Her 704 number, do you have that?
Yes.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Right, I'll call back again.
Thank you so much. And I just sent a note out to Shakesha Lenar and also to Henrietta with the call-in number. Malika, one of the questions that I had, how has the vision of the Youth Summit, how has it shifted from when you were 14, now you're a young lady, a professional, you're all grown up?
Yeah, 30 years old, be
wow.
31 this year, so... Definitely have moved sort of a long way from those moments. But I try to stay sort of abreast of what is happening with the Youth Summit. But one of the things that I led my final summit in 2003, and we were in Brazil, in Salvador de Bahia. That was the last time I sort of participated in facilitating an International Black Youth Summit. And it was an extraordinary moment for me. But one of the things that was important for me very early on was developing leadership from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And in that meant a sort of humbling of ego. Sometimes, and I have found this just sort of, as a career woman and just in different sort of environments, that, that founders can get a founder syndrome, right? You kind of, your identity gets very intimately linked with, whatever sort of vision or, project, organization that you were sort of blessed to be a part of from its beginnings. But, it really does have a life of its own. And so I think one of my proudest moments in the International Black Youth Summit was being able to go and participate at a youth event more recently, or a summit event, and the young people not know who I am. That for me is a sign of this is moving in the way in which I love it to be. And I don't need to say anything, and I don't feel obligated to say who I am. I can just sort of be and listen. And, and so for me, I guess I say all of that to say that those are the indicators for me. And there's a lot of young people I've never met, who are leading the way. The Youth Summit has been to Ghana. Last year the summit was Anguilla. These are locations and places and young people who have been able to experience what was in 1990, 1991, 1992, 1993, 1994, you know, a dream and a conversation among a small, intimate group of young people, you know, that has now rippled out into the world in a way in which, you know, it's just be, you know, it's beautiful. I won't say it was beyond my imagination, because this was part of the my imagination, that it be global, that it be, you know, and for me, like I said, one of the markers is that I can go to a youth summit and you know, and don't know who I am, and that's beautiful. Yeah.
Well, it is, and maybe I'll rephrase that. I think maybe they don't know you by face, but they do know who you are.
Yes, I mean, recognize. Yeah, I'll say that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when you birth, the Youth Summit is, what, about 15 years old now?
Yes.
So, you know, 15-year process, and in that time frame, I guess that's how you know your child has grown up, when they
yes.
go out into the world and stand on their own two feet without you having to be there to, you know, provide and to nurture and to provide direction.
Right. So
exactly. That's really awesome. So what were some of the main tenets of the Youth Summit? Like,
Well, one of the things, and again, I sort of don't know what is current. I hope that there will be some current Youth Summit members and facilitators and leaders who will call in tonight. But one of the things that was very sort of fundamental for me and for the other International Black Youth Summit leaders, and let me step back and say that in 1994, the next summit was in New Orleans, Louisiana. And the call from Oakland, the charge from Oakland Summit in 93 to the 94 Summit was for adults who participated in that summit for that next year, for them to bring the young people in their lives to the summit.
Oh, awesome.
And so that was sort of how we started. So it was like, you know, I said, okay, this is what we want to do. So the following year, I charge each one of you to bring one young person to the summit. You know, and this was, and that year I went to different, between 93 and 94, I went to different facilitator meetings and summit planning meetings as a representative for the possibility of the Youth Summit and what we would like to do for 94. And I called people who participated and said, you know, can you bring some young people or your child or, you know, your nephew, niece, you know, a young person in your neighborhood, like that. And so what we had in 94 was about 20 young people that came to New Orleans, Louisiana. And of those 20, 10 became the core group of organizers between 94 and 95. And 95 was really sort of the official International Black Youth Summit in New York City. But that core 10, which include Salami Saunders, my two sisters, Nabila Redmond and Rashida Redmond, Marquetta Dupree, Shakesha Steinamafika, Rute Hill, Salami's brother, Jermaine Saunders, Glenn's daughter, Taryn Greenwich. Oh, boy. Let me see here. Dawson Randolph. Robin and Robin and Anthony's son, Dawson and who's leaving me? I can't. It'll come back. It'll come back. It left me, but it'll come back. So we were the core group between 94 and 95, and that core group of us really became very close friends. You know, we became each other's allies, and we became each other's very close friends and confidants and, you know, the best sort of team I've ever worked with. And from 94 to 95, we organized an International Black Youth Summit in New York City, along with the International Black Summit, with over 50 young people who represented most of the United States and some parts of the world. So we were very excited about that. And one of the fundamental pieces of that for the International Black Youth Summit was to be a space for young people, by young people. That was sort of one of the fundamental core tenets of it, that it was our voice, the curriculum was our voice, the space was ours, and that it was safe,
mm-hmm.
and that we were building a movement.
And I really have to acknowledge the young people, because the Youth Summit is young people from 8 to, what is it, 25? At the time that you began in the summit, how old were you when you initially first started?
I guess the first summit, like I said, I attended was in 93, which was in Oakland, California. So I was 15, I think, 14, going on 15. So that was the first summit that I participated in. But one of the things we were doing, too, similar to the adult summit, was that we were following sort of the guidelines of Landmark Education. So all of the young people at that point in time had also participated in either the Young People's Forum or the Teen Forum. So it was pretty much strict to up to 18 years old at that point in time. But shortly after our New York summit, we were very clear that we were ready to move on and to set our own prerequisite curriculum and move forward with that. And we were ready to sort of move beyond some of those guidelines and extend the age and do some other things that would ensure that the International Black Youth Summit would be inclusive, more inclusive to more young people.
Awesome. Awesome. Henrietta, are you back on the line with me? Is it Henrietta or Lennar 773 out of Chicago? Who's on with us? Hello?
Hello.
Hi. Who am I speaking with?
Oh, this is Henrietta.
Hi, Henrietta. How are you?
Good. Did I click someone off?
No. Were you able to get through?
Yeah, I'm trying to click her in now.
Okay, great.
Okay.
For those of you who are listening in, our guest call-in number is 646-716-9827. Again, that number is 646-716-9827, and you are listening to the International Black Summit Talk Show, and we are really excited to have Ms. Malika Redman, one of the creators of the International Black Youth Summit, here with us this evening. We have another caller, 424-704. Can you hear me, 424-704? Who's on the line? Is that you, Shakaysha?
That should be Shakaysha, I think. Yeah, I think that's
her number. I can't hear her, though. Shakaysha, can you hear us?
Hello.
Hello, Shakaysha. Can you hear us? Hello?
I see her number.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, there she is.
Wonderful. I'm so happy you're here.
I know. Wow.
Yay, she made it.
Well, everyone.
Wow. I was running fast behind that train, I tell you. It had left the station. So I'm so happy that Malika is with us. And Claire is there just interacting. I think maybe every once in a while you guys may have to take me off because it's background noise. But
oh, you're coming in. You're coming in clear.
You're coming in fine. That's what I can
hear.
You're fine.
No. Oh, okay. Let me let go. Hold up. Let go.
Okay.
Let me clear. Everything's all right, just like it should be. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Malika was sharing with us about the Oakland Summit, and I know you were going to do storytelling around Oakland tonight as well.
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear the last thing you said, Claire.
Oh, you were sharing with us about the Oakland Summit, and Shakaysha was going to do some some storytelling around Oakland as
well. Oh, great.
Yeah, but Shakesha, can you hear everyone?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Okay, great. So you're on.
Okay. Well, let's all pretend that we have on our pajamas, the ones with the footy. Have a hot cup of cocoa or herbal tea with a little peppermint stick in it. And we're going to just lean back and relax. Wow.
Sounds wonderful.
Shakesha. Storyteller Shakesha shares a true story, a summit story. The title is, Where is Oakland? Now, that story started somewhere back in 1993 in the city of Los Angeles. A beautiful young lady, sassy lady, by the name of Shakesha, was standing in this huge room with a lot of people. A lot of people didn't look like her. They weren't people of color. But a lot of great things were happening in that room. And at some point, I stood with a whole group of people of color, Latino people, Asian people, black people. And for some reason, I closed my eyes. I saw my eyes were closed. And when I opened them, there was this beautiful black fairy, an elderly fairy, an elderly woman full of wisdom and love for me. And she just looked into my eyes, and she handed me a rolled up paper. I looked down at the paper, and when I looked back up in a moment, she was gone. I didn't know what had happened, but I knew what was on that paper, the Declaration of the International Black Summit. It was the first time I had ever seen those words. But I knew I had to get to Oakland. Where in the world is Oakland? I know where Compton is. I know where L.A. is. But I said, I am going to Oakland. So every black person I saw, I started telling them about this place called Oakland and this great thing that was going to take place about the International Black Summit. And I said, come with me. And they said, well, how are we going to get there? We can't fly. So I said, well, let's drive. But I forgot I didn't have a car large enough to take the 11 people who I had convinced to follow me to Oakland. Where in the world is Oakland? But we get a van, and it's like strange. We don't have money for a van. We don't even have a credit card. Back in the days when everybody didn't have a credit card, it was hard to get hold to a credit card. But this lady that I knew, my Jewish friend, she heard me sharing about the summit. She said, can I come? And I said, no, it's just for people of color. She said, well, how can I support you? I said, I need your credit card. Can you meet me down at the car rental place and bring your credit card? And she did. And in matters of minutes, we had our van, our carriage to Oakland. Where in the world is Oakland? I got in that van with 11 women. We got a map, and we started driving to Oakland. And we were driving, and we were driving. We were driving. Every once in a while we stopped for gas. We were driving. And then we arrived in Oakland. We got out. We parked our van. We walked in. And we saw all these black people, tall black people, short black people, fat black people, skinny black people. But they were black. And they were like, come with us. We have an opening ceremony. So we go into the opening ceremony, and it's just beautiful. Black people talking about loving black people, looking at what was in the way of loving black people. And all these black people up on the stage. And all I could remember is, I want to do that. I want to be part of that. So when that Oakland summit ended, my last words as I walked out the door and turned back, and looked at facilitator Glenn, facilitator Susan, facilitator Perry. I'll be back. I'll be back in October to this thing called the International Black Summit. I want to come back. And I've been coming back since 1993, over 15 years. Not only have I been back, but I brought my children there. I brought my mom there. I brought my cousins, because the summit goes all over the world. We've been to Memphis. We've been to Jamaica. We've been to New York. We've been to Atlanta. We've been to New Orleans several times. We've been to Atlanta. In fact, the very first summit was in Atlanta. So these people have been traveling and gathering just like a tumbleweed. And we grow and we grow and we roll and we roll and we roll. And now we're about to roll on into London. So don't miss it. Come join us. Be part of the story. And with that, we close our eyes. We feel the warmth in our body from our little footies on our jammies. And we take a sip of that nice hot drink. And stay tuned for next time I'm on to hear another summit story. Storyteller Tricacia says goodbye.
That was awesome. That was really awesome.
It was.
Thanks for sharing that, Tricacia. That I could see you guys driving in that car all the way from L.A. to Northern California.
And something very interesting happened on the way back. So when you go to the summit, nobody does anything to you. Nobody gives you anything. You actually start to empower yourself to see distinctions. And the distinction that I got from that Oakland summit was the distinction clearing. And we say the distinction clearing can be a verb or a noun. When it's a noun, it's like a location, like a football field is a clearing for football. A stage with pink shoes and a tutu is a clearing for ballerina. And also clearing means to like a verb is, to clear out or to remove or to make space. In the summit, we say we clear ourselves. We clear so we can move ourselves out of the way so the conversation of the summit can move through us. So I really got that on the first visit. So when we were on the van going back home, the lady who was driving almost fell asleep at the wheel.
Oh,
and
wow.
When her eyes closed, we were behind like a 6-foot truck, silver, and we called her. We said, "Are you awake?" And she woke up. But in that moment, I knew we needed to be cleared. And I asked the driver, when the next exit comes, I need you to exit. Now, normally, when we drove up there, we didn't see an exit for like miles. But as soon as I said that, within 3 minutes, there was an exit. We exited, and right there at the exit was a park. So we drove the van to the park. I walked out of the bus first, and I stood at the door, and I asked people to come off and clear. I said, "Say whatever you need to say to be clear." And people were saying things like, "I thought I was going to die. I don't know if I can get back on this bus," or, you know, da, 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 da. And just as the last person got off the bus, the van, I asked them to clear me, and I said everything I needed to say. And when we completed that, we got back on the bus, and we safely arrived back in L.A. It was breathtaking to actually have a distinction and to be able to use it in my life so immediately.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And I think, I mean, that's one of the gifts that I think in terms of the tools that come out of the summit, which is how do we effectively build community? And we build community one conversation at a time. And that conversation, you know, when it's clear, it's clean. And, you know, it's that is empowering. You know, when we can get right to, in the moment, the bottom of what's going, you know, what's going on for each one of us. You know, so it's a way the summit supports us being able to develop the tools to build strong community. And I just really believe that, you know, it's one effective conversation at a time. So, you know, how the driver can get cleared, you know, how the passengers can be clear, you know, how the facilitator of the conversation can be, you know, clear and be heard and be listened to, you know, that supports everyone getting home safely. You know, and that's, yeah.
Yeah, and getting home could be like a location, like we were coming back to L.A., and it can also be the home that you're always seeking.
Yes, uh-huh.
And that's something that I really experience when I work with the youth in the youth summit, that ability to bring the participants to whatever home it is they're seeking. There were like many, many situations when we were in the room and you literally saw people find that home.
Yeah.
So I know you probably shared with Claire about the beginning of the summit and how that was for you. Can you say a little bit more about like working with participants and what you got from that? And
okay. I'd love to. I think, that's the biggest joy. And one of the things I was saying to Claire was that sort of my introverted nature and shyness. And one of the things the summit supported was always having opportunity to work through those things. And, you know, one of the things that like what you were saying, Shakesh, about the Youth Summit being a place for young people to kind of sort of find home. One of the things that I think one of the sort of intimidations of adolescence and especially in your teen years is acceptance, being accepted and or, you know, being popular or, you know, but still popular based on being accepted, you know. And one of those fears is like, you know, someone's gonna find me out that I'm different somehow, or I'm not as whatever as I'm trying to portray, or I'm not as, you know, or something. And one of the things that we would train ourselves as youth facilitators is how do we create a space for everyone to feel like they can say what they want to say, how they say it, you know. And the best thing that I loved about the Youth Summit was that, you know, we would have moments where, you know, we would just stop and say, how many, you know, feel like they're alone, you know, and then everybody raised their hand, how many times do you feel like, you know, people say to you, oh, you know, you talk white, or you sound like this type, or you do this, or you do, you know, how many times have you felt like, you know, you weren't accepted by your, you know, your peers or at your school? Or, and it was those moments where we could do that with each other, and then people, and then you have this, oh, breakthrough moment that we aren't so different. You know, we may be coming from different parts of the country. We may have different backgrounds, economic backgrounds, cultural backgrounds, you know, but that we have so much in common in this space, in this room. And I think that it just, over the years, built a certain camaraderie and love, authentic sort of partnership among the youth. One story I'll share quickly that really sticks out for me with regards to the International Black Youth Summit was in South Africa in 1997. And here we were. So here's the great thing about being young, and then, you know, some of the things as an adult, and I think in retrospect, I'm like, you know, thank God, you know, really, and Goddess, you know, that there were some wonderful adult allies who held their breath and gave us room, you know, because in some ways we were really, like, fearless about everything that was going on, and nonetheless, you know, so we were in South Africa. We didn't have a lot of young people that were, you know, stateside that were there. Most of the young people who participated were from South Africa, and which was wonderful because anytime we've gone outside of the United States of America, most of the International Black Youth Summer participants were young people, black youth, who were from that respective country. So that was always, for me, a joy. And in South Africa, we actually experienced a major language barrier. And most of the young people that participated, English was not their first language, so it was, you know, and there were several different languages in the room being spoken, and we were just at a loss of how we were going to be able to have the curriculum that we had and be able to share it with the young people that were there to participate and have this language barrier. I mean, like, had no clue. And literally on the first day, you know, just sort of being exhausted, you know, from, you know, just time, you know, exchange differences and just trying to, I mean, even climate and season difference. It was winter there and we're, you know, coming from summer. I mean, just exhausted. We didn't know what to do. I mean, we were at a loss. And so we just had to go back to the drawing board and just figure and just begin to think about what are ways in which we connect that don't need words, you know, but that we can get to a place of understanding. And so, you know, it was a liberating experience because we were able to get to that place. There was maybe three young people who participated in that youth summit from South Africa who were college students who did interpreting for us. So that was very supportive. And we got to a point where we decided to do an art project, and we had the young people draw everybody. You know, draw what has been their experience of the youth summit, you know, what they've learned, what they've thought about. And we use it as a fundraiser. But one of the paintings that stick out for me was one where this young person did the United States and the continent of Africa and a long bridge from South Africa crossing the oceans up to the U.S. and bodies walking, traversing across the ladders that went to the U.S., to the continent, and back and forth. And the young person talked about, you know, this is, for me, what the summit is.
Yeah,
about a way in... I'm sorry, go ahead, Shakesha.
No, I'm sorry. I remember it. I can see it in my...
Yeah.
It was...
Very moving, very powerful, empowering, and just that, you know, that this is a way in which the summit for me has been a way that the oceans are no longer a barrier, you know, and that we are one. You know, it was just amazing, you know, in that sense that I think it was the best way to articulate what the goal of the summit is.
Yeah.
Through that picture.
Yes, I'm sitting here looking at the website, our website, blacksummit.org, and I'm looking at what is available through the summit, and it just really just echoes what you've just shared. It said a gathering of people of Black African descent from diverse backgrounds,
yes,
countries, lifestyles, opinions, and views who come together to celebrate and empower the vision of the Declaration.
Mm-hmm.
And as I read this, I want to actually acknowledge you, Malika, and celebrate your greatness. And as I acknowledge you and celebrate you, I also speak to all of the youth that have been participants and facilitators. That's what you guys did. You guys created a gathering. Like you said, there was acceptance for everything, opinions, views, countries, lifestyles, and we came together in celebration. I mean, the one thing that's always around all summits is celebration, dance, music, laughter. You feel like it's a party. And we
absolutely
another distinction about party. Like, not like a party like this, I go out on a Friday night, shake my booty party, but a party of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then it says, and explorations of questions and issues which empower participants to realize their vision for the Black community and the world. Okay, I see what popped up, I'm going to just pinpoint, is Dawn is trying to get on. So if we see her name coming up, let's see if we can bring her on. Dawn, if you're listening, you want to dial area code 646-716-9728, and your number will appear in my beautiful computer room, Officiano. Will,
it's actually 9827. Yeah.
Did I say it wrong?
Yeah,
the
last four digits.
9827. 9827. Someone say that again for me.
646-716-9827.
Thank
you. Hey,
Malika. Hi.
So Lenar is here to do a
Lenar, how are you?
I'm doing great, girl. It's so good to meet you. You sounded like your mom when I first, I was like, that sounds like Valerie.
I know.
Yeah, you sound just like your mom.
I'm one of her ducklings.
Yes, you are.
Uh-huh.
So I, you know, well, who else would I sound like, huh? Other than
right?
Well, of course, you know, I'm here because you are one of my heroes.
Oh.
Heroes, okay. And when I grow up, I want to be like you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, thank you so much.
You are welcome so much. I remember Malika at that summit in, it wasn't in Highland Park. It was after that. And I want to say it was the one in California where you and that young boy from Michigan.
Yeah.
And
do you remember his name? I can't remember.
No, I don't. I
okay.
don't remember what he looked like.
Yeah.
You know, light skin. You and he were about the same height. He was kind of stock built then. He was, it wasn't a small child. He was, you know, a good size. And just the determination and his, the fierceness around him, not fierce, bad, but like warrior type fierceness.
Yeah.
And you, you know, being very demure but very strong in, you know, in that, saying, well, look, you know, we want to do this. And I know over the years, you, I don't know that you recall having that conversation with me. It's one that stuck with me all these years. And, you know, I said what I usually say. You know, if that's what you see to do, go for it. Don't ask anybody else. Just go do it. That's what you used to think, and just go get the other youth and do it.
Yes.
And you guys got up there on that stage and said, look, you, this, okay, this is my interpretation of it. You guys were a little bit nicer about it. My interpretation was, you adults talk too much. You say the same thing over and over. And we youth have something to say, and we think we can do this ourselves. We want your support, but we can't be in this room with you anymore. We got to go because you all talk too long and too much. You say the same thing over and over, and we're ready to do something. That's my interpretation of what you said.
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to just take a moment to acknowledge you, Lenar, because you know we've had a long relationship before the summit.
That's true.
You know,
Mark, right?
Right. With the IFLP, which I can't remember what that's what is that what is the IFLP, what that stand for? Introduction of, right. and Introduction to Form Leaders program. And, you know, when I first participated with the program, you know, this was just, you know, me, a 14-year-old girl coming out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, you know, going, you know, to Chicago, a huge city that never, you know, I couldn't have imagined really, you know, and being in a space with so many adults, let alone adults, but, you know, these dynamic grown people who, you know, I mean, when I think about it now, I mean, it really was a major feat. And I think that I was able to do that and enjoy because I had mentors and strong Black women. And I don't want to use the word strong because that gets overused and it doesn't really speak to what I'm thinking. And totally what it was, you know. But these Black women who were a marvel, I mean, gorgeous, you know, I just wanted to be these Black women, articulate, who stood out among the hundreds of non, you know, people of color, who, you know, what's her name's mother from Detroit? Oh, God. The police officer. Jackie
Phyllis Butts, yeah.
Jackie. The other woman from Detroit.
Meredith was there. Pat Report.
I mean, it was like, and this was my introduction to Form Leaders program. These are the women that I had a chance to participate. You know, so, I mean, it was something to be able to see and to participate with, and I just wanted more and more. Any opportunity I had, you know, and then the summit just opened that up even more, you know, and I think that my style of facilitation and or drive really came from, you know, watching closely the way that you and others that I looked up to did your thing.
Wow.
You know, so, you know, I just, let me say that, yeah.
Excuse me for one moment. We have another caller, a 905 number, and this is International Black Summit Talk Show Radio.
And thank you, Malika. Really, I got it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The caller is joining us. The last four digits is 4047.
Oh, it's me. It's Dawn calling from Toronto.
Hey, Dawn.
Canada. Welcome.
Yeah, and excuse my interruption. I just, because we only have like 8 minutes left, I wanted to make sure she was able to get in.
Shakesha, everyone, I extended our show, so you have another 30 minutes to start it, a little bit longer. So you have more time.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, welcome, Dawn. I'm glad you're on. You have a shout-out or comment?
No, I mean, I'm trying to listen to be kind of in the groove with everyone else, but in general, I called in because of your topic of, like, celebrate and stuff like that, and I wanted to celebrate kind of all the people in the summit who have been, who've meant the world to me, especially since they were with me when I was sick. When I couldn't go to the last two summits, they were so with me. Like, everyone called me in the hospital and stuff like that. These were people who literally made me realize that even though I was close to death, but that I could live by just being, by just, you know, accepting everything and hearing what everyone was saying to me. They sang me the summit song, all that stuff. I mean, I've never had friends like that in my life, and I know they will always be there. And so I wanted to celebrate that. I still celebrate that. I tell everyone about that, and I wanted to call in just to say that acknowledgement.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for having your life be used and, you know, like looking to see what you've noticed about things going on, and you're definitely a celebration of acknowledgement. I really get that feeling when you communicate to us in your emails and the things that you're creating as it, you know, leaps forward and out of Canada. Mm-hmm. So just thank you for who you are. And just, you know, I just remember when I met you and we ate together and you had the baby with you. And, you know, from that first meeting, I just felt this whole feeling of you're a person who just, like, watches out and tells us what the good things are. You're, you know, the bringer of the report, the good report,
mm-hmm.
you know, so thank you.
Yeah, I had a lot of fear in me, and I think a lot of that is gone, so,
mm-hmm.
so thank you, guys.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
And thank you, and one of the things that I hear Dawn pointing to, and I also heard it with Malika, when, you know, now that she says it, I do remember she was kind of shy. Now that you say that, yeah, I remember, like, that shyness, but what was so beautiful and breathtaking was watching you take on leadership and be leadership at the same time with the fear, with the
mm-hmm.
shyness. Like,
yeah.
You know, as I think back, yeah, you would be shy, but that wasn't anything stopping you. It was like
mm-hmm.
like being on a red dress. Like, I don't know. You know, and I might like it. You know, I might wear it again. So,
right.
yeah, like that. Like, one of the things I'm experiencing in the summit is sometimes it's nothing to get rid of, you know. It's
mm-hmm. Right.
You know, like you were saying, just having the acceptance of it's here, and you have your evaluations and judgments about it. But
right.
As time goes, you really get it doesn't stop you.
Right.
So, you know.
Feel the fear and do it anyway.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. They say that's what courage is. Courage is having the fear and doing it anyway. You know.
Well, baby, some courageous women here.
mm-hmm.
Excuse me for interrupting. Then it's, you know, phone full of courageous women right here, right now.
Yeah,
right here, right now.
Yes.
And
call out the name.
Yeah, that I just shout out to the whole universe that one of our intention is to have you be in this call with us, to have you be with us in London. The next annual event will be in London.
Right.
And we want you. We desire
right.
you. We're calling for you to be with us.
Okay.
You know, on those dates and in a lot of different ways. So
right.
You can go to blacksummit.org, and you can actually online register yourself for the International Black Summit. It's definitely a family occasion, so feel free to bring family, and family like, you know, your cousins, your children.
What you talking about? Nabila and Rashida, her sisters. Don't you know
right.
it was the three Redmond girls and Valerie Redmond? And
mm-hmm.
now there are children. How
mm-hmm.
many children? Nabila has two or one?
Well, so there are, Nabila's expecting.
Right.
And, well, right, and so she's due next month.
Okay.
And so we're looking forward to that birth. And so she'll have two babies. Well, Najani is actually 8 years old, so she's
oh, wow.
she is a young lady. And then Rashida has three. Rashida has three. She Cadence is 2 years old, and he'll be three next November. And then she has twins, two girls, which are 7 months, they'll be going into their seventh month, and so it's the family's growing, you know, and so my mother is just a happy grandmother because my brother also has two babies, so she is having a wonderful time.
Wow,
being
and you're
a
proud auntie then, huh?
And I am a very proud auntie, and you
wow.
know. So it's all very, very exciting. Yeah. And, you know, I look forward to one of the things I was saying with Claire when she was on is that, you know, I'm always sort of at awe at the breadth and depth and the growth of the International Black Summit and the use of technology and the way that it's expanded and, you know, the going to different places and the way in which it's grown. So I keep myself abreast to what's happening, you know, and when I can participate, you know, I try and do that. So I'm definitely looking forward to what's up and coming this year. So, but I wanted to also have an opportunity. Shakesha, are you still there?
Okay.
Hello.
Oh. Yeah, she's there.
Oh, okay.
Mhm.
Yeah. No.
I'm here.
Oh, okay. I wanted to acknowledge the other young people that were there between 94 and 95, who were like the core group who really worked to organize. You know, and the way I look at it is that in 93, you know, we sort of, the young people that were in Oakland, California sort of organically came together because we all were, you know, the young people that were there, and we just kind of talked about, you know, the possibility of doing this youth summit and declared it in Oakland, California. In 94, the young people that came in 94 came out of an intention, out of the 93 declaration, showed up in 94 by, you know, through the adult participants who were charged with bringing their young people the next year. And so some of those adults who participated brought their young people to the 94 summit. And of the young people that were there, 10 of us declared that we would be the ones to organize the very first youth summit, which was in New York in 95. And work together. And I wanted to acknowledge, you know, everyone, because, and I started that acknowledgement with Claire, but, you know, that was the best team I'd ever worked with ever in life, really. You know, they were my friends. We were each other's partners. We were, you know, so that was myself, my two sisters, Nabila Redmond, Rashida Redmond, Salami Saunders, her brother, Jermaine Saunders, Amafika, Shakesha's son, Amafika Elamine, Marquetta Dupree, Glenn's daughter, Taryn Greenwich, Dawson Randolph, and help me out. Am I missing somebody?
Just missing one.
I think so. Myself, Nabila Rashida, Jermaine Salami, Rute Hill.
Oh, Rute's on Facebook.
Right, Rute's on Facebook. And I don't know how I forgot him because I just spoke to him. We just reconnected a couple of days ago. But the 10 of us, you know, worked like, you know, two hands, really. Where the shyness would come in for me, there was someone to take that up and to, you know, and my partner in crime, Falami, she would, you know, if I couldn't say it, she would say it, you know, and if, you know, and I think one of the things that, you know, and I'll say this about the guys in particular, you know, it was so great because the guys, I think one of the things that they did was they brought a sense of adventure and fun. I think one of the things that Amafika brought to the summit for the young women in the youth summit was sensitivity. And, you know, I'll say this because it was like, you know, every youth summit that we would go to, you know, the girls would swoon after the guys. I mean, the guys were just so adorable. you know, Dawson and Amafika and Rute and Jermaine. I mean, just, you know, they were just so adorable and, you know, they had, you know. And so, but what I think was great, though, about all of them and was that they were gentlemen, you know. They were smart. And I'll say this about Amafika in particular, because he was very, very conscious of being sensitive and very conscious about listening, you know. And I know that's because of, you know, the women in his life, you know, his mother, his sister, who were very stern about, you know, this is how you treat women, you know. And I think because of those examples, the young women who came through the youth summit got a chance to see, you know, young men that, you know, like, hey, there is a way that you deserve to be treated and spoken to and listened to, you know. And they really brought that, you know, they really brought that. And so, you know, it was really a special moment in time. And, you know, Taryn at 9 years old, I mean, she was nine, you know, leading the International Black Youth Summit in New York City, you know. And so with this, you know, with as much clarity as anybody else. So it was really an opportunity for all of us to be able to, we would for each other bring the best out of each other for each other. And I think that all of us being there, each young person in the room could kind of, and they did kind of connect to someone who you were like, oh, I kind of, you know, connect with this person because I kind of see myself in that person. I'm a little quirky like maybe this person, or a little bit more outspoken like this person, or, you know. And I think that was one of the gifts, you know, that we shared as a group. Was our, you know.
Thank you for distinguishing that. As you said, because my children also participated, and like you said, I had a sense as a mother, like how safe they were.
Okay.
They came to the New York one, and I was terrified of New York. I believe all of the stereotypes of New
York
that I've seen on TV. And when they got there, and you guys all got together, I mean, they were like, you guys were out till 3 a.m. we had Joyce supposed to be chaperoning, showing them three-card Molly. it was like so much fun. I felt safe. I was like, my kids can be out until 5 because I know they're with people who care for them, that love them, and is only interested in doing what we want them to do. And from that summit, I've always felt you guys were brothers and sisters, all of you guys. That's what I tell people when I would tell them to bring their children. I said, if you bring your children to the summit, they will have new brothers and sisters. They will grow together. And, you know, people would look at me, they say, really? I say, really? And for me, that really became true because my son actually met his wife in the summit.
Right.
And, you know, they courted, you know, met and courted through the summit and spent time together. And when they got married, I remember one of the things I said as I was looking as a mother at them wedding. I remember I said to Akilah, I gave you a summit man. You know, I mean, that's how profound the summit is. That you, you know, you can express it like you got something. I mean, he was already something, but it's like, I mean, it's almost hard to describe it, but I was very clear that I was saying something when I said a summit man. So, like you said, there's so many levels of things that are available out of the International Black Summit, and it shows up everywhere, you know, from the young, you know, to the, when I say to the old, to the elders. I remember distinctly when seniors came into the space. I especially think of Mrs. Gums, you know, who attended the summit, even to the point when she was in a wheelchair. and her doctor was telling her, you can't travel. She was like, oh, look, I am going to the International Black Summit. I don't know what you thinking about, but I will be there. And it just grew out of her. And so, like, it's a place where you find everybody, all ages. And it's just so, so great. And it just continues to expand. And the ways to participate in the summit is, you know, expanding. We have the talk shows. We have the technology area. We have, you know, you name it. And, in fact, if we don't have it, you just come and name it. And it becomes an expression of the summit in terms of one of the things I'm starting to coin and start to say is let your passion direct you to your participation in the International Black Summit.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's great.
As you were calling out those names, I jotted down a couple of other names of youth. They weren't there that year, but from that first year, some very more powerful youth, like Bonita Walker. I mean, that girl, she was just off the chain. She still is. It's like, oh, my Lord. You know, catch up with her. And Willa, who is now his significant other. Alex, remember Alex Trevor's son?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Charlie's son. I don't. I want to say he's not Alex. What's his name?
She has two sons, Alex and but the one that came to the youth summit.
The one that he's just gotten married, I think. But whichever one, the one that was there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, my godson, Vibe, oh, my Lord.
That's right.
Oh, we can't forget Vibe.
Mm-hmm.
That name is the name.
Yeah.
And
your daughter, your daughter, Ebony Assisi.
Mm-hmm.
Ebony
I think that 96, she was actually, what was the coordinator?
Yeah.
For
the Youth Summit. That's right.
So, yeah, my children have so benefited, you know, and given contributions.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, and the contribution to me that the youth give to me like an adult, you know, I get to experience being loved by people, you know, because sometimes as a mother, when I want to hang out with my kids' friends, they won't let me.
Right.
Some of the youth would like, come on, Jakesha, you can hang with us. Make place for me, for the youth in me.
And right.
It's like so much fun. And, you know, I feel, you know, because you guys allowed that in the beginning of our relationship, that is still there. You know,
mm-hmm.
I come to New York, I have to see Jermaine, or I have to talk to this person. I'm like waiting to talk to, what's her name, Rute?
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in conversation with Dawson. Dawson and I have been doing stand-up comedy. And, you know, he's been sourcing back comedy. And we
talk
a lot. It's like ageless.
Wow.
You know, like,
that's great.
He sources me and I source him.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then I brought my grandson to the New Orleans one. From Washington, D.C. at 10 to be there, and he loves it, and he's looking to come back. So, you know, I've literally had three generations, you know, myself and grandchildren.
What's your other son's name who came? The one
Jabari.
Jabari.
Yes, Lord have mercy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes,
Jabari.
Yes, Jabari. 60-something. He looks like maybe he could wrestle. And the cutest, he's got them dimples. He didn't learn how to work those dimples, Malika. He's working them dimples.
You mentioned it, and I just want to, like, really, in case there are parents who will listen to this later, to mention that, listening
on
the phone has a Henrietta's child, daughter, has been, you know, to the summit, the youth summit. But I do want to say that there are adults adult youth coordinators, adult youth facilitators, that's it, so the youth are not left unsupervised. I just want
sure.
to say that.
And yeah, and it is and has always been a part of the youth summit that there be a way in which we ally, you know, and that there be adult youth allies and support and facilitators, you know, and that has shown up in the youth summit from its beginnings, and that relationship has shifted and changed and has developed in all kinds of different ways, and, you know, adult allies bring to the facilitators bring to the table, you know, their passion for young people, and so that has always been an very important part of the International Black Youth Summit. And I wanted to step back for a second and remember more of the young people that came through the Youth Summit who took up, you know, different aspects of leadership of the Youth Summit, Alexis Gums, Pondway Gibson, you know, and the thing about that next generation of young people who came on board, you know, a lot of them have really launched themselves out in the world in ways that are just so exciting, you know, with, you know, when I think about what they're doing in their lives now, you know, career-wise and in the world, you know, just like this way of living life that's limitless, you know, boundary-less. You know, when I think about Benita, you know, being a young person who came into the International Black Youth Summit and now has traveled the world already, and she's 25 maybe, you know, working with youth organizations, started her own youth organization, writing grants, you know, and I think about Pondway and what she has done, gone to Harvard, done, you know, I mean, that next generation, Alexis, you know, with her, you know, work and her PhD work, that next generation really, you know, and, you know, Ebony Azizi was just such a mentor, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, with regards to that sort of level of rigor. And that next generation, I mean, they really, you know, just have gone so far. And I'm so proud of that. When I think about the ways, when I think about markers for me of the success of the Youth Summit, I think about them. I think about, you know, the moments of intervention. Had, you know, what would someone's life path would have been if they didn't have that intervention moment with the International Black Youth Summit, you know, and where they are now, you know, and the skills and the tools to be able to work through the hard times when life presents those things. And having, if it's not me that you're talking to, you know, it's interesting because each one of those next sort of, I'd say generations, but next groups of waves of young people, you know, they've made their own partnerships and have been each other's support system, you know, and it's just, you know, so I might not know directly what they're doing, but I know through the grapevine, you know, what they're doing and, you know, and through each other and how they're supporting each other, you know, move to the next step and next level in their lives. So, you know, that for me is another, you know, way I kind of look at the success. I was saying to Claire's, you know, for me, the another thing that I look at in terms of markers is, you know, there are so many young people who are leading the Youth Summit who, if I came into the room, they wouldn't know who I was. You know, and for me, and I, you know, and she corrected me that they have heard of you and they know you, but, you know, but what I was saying was to recognize, and for me, what I mean by that is that it has rippled in such a way that's important to me, you know, that it's not attached to ego for me in that sense, you know, in that sense, you know, it's really awesome. You know, yeah. And so, you know.
You know, I mean, yeah, it's We're talking about like 16 years for all that's been done.
Yeah.
That's a short amount of time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
we have another caller at 215-867. They've been on for a minute. I just want to acknowledge them and see if they want to say something. And we have about 10 minutes left, just so you know.
Okay. I like to take the caller, but not right at this moment. I just want to kind of walk through the process of being involved with the International Black Summit. So the place to look to follow up on what we're sharing is blacksummit.org. That's our website, and there's an area where you'll see the declaration, which we've spoken of, the places we've gone, and then there's an area where you can register. And one of the other pieces of registering is to do the prerequisite. The prerequisite is a one-day in terms of the adults, and I can't remember if it's one or two for youth. But you take that course, you can do it throughout the year, and on the website we say where they are. Or you can wait the Thursday before the annual event and come in early and do it on Thursday, and that prepares you for the 4 days. And we include Thursday, Friday, and Saturday and Sunday. So as we said earlier, there's a youth area, and the age starts from 8 to 17. And then we have adults. We have senior rates. We have family rates. We have out of the country, people from other places in the world. There's a different rate than the United States. So going to that page will be helpful. And Claire, would you give our where people can write in for our talk show to ask us questions, and we can get back to people?
The best thing is for them to write to talkshow@blacksummit.org is our email address, and that's talkshow@blacksummit.org if you'd like to send us an email. Or as Shakesha said, you can go to our website at www.blacksummit.org to register for annual event, which is the first weekend in August.
The date for the annual event this year is, I went to the page that doesn't have the current one. I'm looking at 2009.
July 30th through August the 3rd or 4th, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, July 30th through August 2nd, 2009. And we will be in London. And one of the things that Malika said about sharing about more about the youth, and we've present other youth, Maqueta will be a guest in March. And I'm reaching out to other youth facilitators and youth participants to, you know, call in or to email us, and we'd like to have you be on and tell us what else is going on in your life. I think those were the two main things. And we're going to take the next caller. And then I just want to close just saying one thing about the questions and the declarations.
Okay.
So do we have our caller there?
Person at 215-860, did you want to do a shout out?
Oh, yes. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
This is Joyce.
Hello.
And I called just to, you know, acknowledge and celebrate Malika.
Thanks, Joyce.
Yeah, it's just like, all I can say is it's been many, many years, but just truly your stand for, you know, the youth. And let me tell you, you have not been in a room with Malika. You missed out. I tell you, your coaching, your stand for young people, I mean, there were times when most people would have given up, and you would just, she's one of those that gets in your face and at the same time is very gentle. It's just like, a master, I'm going to call you a master. Thank you for those many weekends and hours, and just really being who you are. So could not let that go without, having this call and not acknowledging you for who you've been being for this and the stand you are for young people and for the Youth Summit for generations to come.
Thank you, Joyce, and thank you for your partnership always, for your
You're
partnership
welcome.
And support for
You're
all
welcome.
Of the all of your work. Thank you.
Joyce was one of those adult youth facilitators that we were speaking of.
Yeah.
I just wanted to point that out. And to point out that, for me, what you just described, Joyce, ruthless compassion. Remember that, Malika, from Landmark?
I don't know.
Where someone is telling you no, and you say, okay, got it. And
this is
what I want to have. And then you come back and say no, and you say, okay, got it. And
That's right.
You know, thank you for sharing. And
that's right.
Yeah. And when you were sharing about the young youth facilitators, I may have missed it. Did you include Wambui?
I didn't.
Oh, my
thank
goodness.
You for saying that.
And
I missed that.
Bring that in. I was listening.
Yeah, and Nandi.
I missed it, but, yeah.
And Kahala.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't say their names, but
well,
yeah.
Like I said,
mm-hmm.
So cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It sounds
wonderful.
Like it's time for a reunion.
It's over
like
too.
This is my 10th year, so it sounds like reunion. Youth Summit reunion time in London.
Yeah, it's definitely overdue. It's definitely time has come for that.
Remember all that fun we had in Brazil, Malika?
I mean, I was going to say that, Shakesha, but I didn't want to put us totally on blast.
Fun.
Right.
Talking about how we hung out.
Yes.
You have 2 minutes, Shakesha.
Okay. We present the declaration. Earlier, correct?
Yeah. Actually, we didn't read the full declaration if you want to do that.
Okay. Let's do that. And part of the concept of the show is to continue what we're doing tonight. So this isn't like it. We want to have, we'll have others on, tell others, come on yourself and share things. But it's all about, just presencing, this space. So, we can't get everything done. But this is a start, and this is the place for a celebration and acknowledgement. So I would like, or would someone else like to read the declaration to close us? I lied. I want to read it. The International Black Summit Declaration. We start our summit and end our summit with this reading, and then throughout we interact. This is what
you have 1 minute.
It's a conversation, okay?
Except we don't read it. Actually, we don't read it.
Mm-hmm.
We say it from our hearts.
Okay.
I do.
Okay, the International Black Summit Declaration. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We live for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversations of and about for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversations of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution to the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7, 1991, January 11, 2009, in all of the places in which we are.
Okay.
Then we have a moment of silence. Woo, whoopee! Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank everyone for being on tonight. And we'll be here again the first Sunday. But next Sunday we have coming at us out of Washington, D.C.
Yay!
Yeah, the Obama moment. Obama, Obama. So our own Claire will be in Washington, D.C. So she's going to bring it on home to us, so you don't want to miss next week. Next Sunday. And then we have a Tuesday night show, the Wealth Club,
yes.
Hosted by our Glenn Grindrich, and two guests will be Rosemary Blake and Bill Patterson, so talking about wealth, abundance, prosperity. And with that, I want to sign off by saying, have your passion direct your participation with the International Black Summit.
Awesome.
Good night. It was great talking to you.
Bye-bye. Thank
Malika.
You. All right.
And
love
Malika,
you guys.
Send me all your social network, you know, information.
Okay.
MySpace, Facebook, Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Malika.
They should call me.
Okay, I will.